You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton on this Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Nice show lined up for you. Jake Chapman, he's the radio voice of the Orlando Magic. He'll join us 1 hour from now. Nice season for the Magic. Got off to a good start, faltered, got it back together again, finishes the five seed. They got a shot against Cleveland. First game of the NBA playoffs, if you don't count this whole play-in stuff. Saturday, 1 o'clock. We'll talk to Jake Chapman about that. David Dwork. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, we're getting the lightning of the Panthers, baby. We'll get it for the Panthers' perspective and David Dwork coming up in about 90 minutes. And a guest in the Diamond District bonus hour for Everglades fans in the 239. Playoffs start tonight. Yeah. Miller and Moulton. So do you like the play-in?
It's grown on me. When it first started, I was against it because I don't love the concept of more playoff teams, but I like the way the NBA does the play-in. It's quick. It gives a huge advantage to teams in the 7 and 8 slot.
Yeah, it gives them home games. Right. Yep.
And two chances to win one game.
Right. You win the 7, 8 game, you're in.
Right.
You lose the 7, 8 game, you host a mulligan. Right.
And I like the mulligan. It's very much two off the first tee for the 7-8 seed.
The 9-10 game, too. It's like, if you don't win the 9-10 game, can you really complain? I mean,
no.
You're not worthy of the playoffs at that point. To Mark's.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, I will say, does it have the same amount of meat, more or less, than the first four in Dayton in the NCAA tournament?
A little less, only because you lose the game in Dayton, you're done. There's no mulligan.
That's
you don't
true.
Get to re-tee it.
No, you don't come back the next night in Dayton and say, hey, we want a do-over.
For the record, are you a mulligan guy on the first tee?
Only. It's the only place I allow mulligans.
Well, is
the first tee. Well, no. I mean, there are some guys and groups and what have you. You get one. You could use it at any point in your round. Okay. No. First tee. Because let's face it, a lot of us don't have a sufficient warm-up when we play. Now, in Florida, a lot of people do. But, I grew up in the Northeast, and a lot of times you raced into the parking lot, you grabbed your clubs, you went, you didn't do a practice putt, you stretched for 4 minutes, okay, you had 6 practice swings, and let's go.
What are you getting there so late for?
What do you mean? You got a life, you're working, you going to school, whatever. You just
can't show up 30 minutes before the tee time to hit a few shots?
Oh, a lot of places that I played at, Mark, didn't have a practice range. You had to go to a driving range if you wanted to warm up. Now, when I was in high school, I cut school. We had a match. I cut the second half of the school day. I went to lunch, and then I was gone. I went to the Inman driving range. I hit a bucket and a half of balls, okay? And then I came back to school and got on the team bus, and we went to the match. Okay, but the rest of my life, I don't know if I hit 6 warm-up shots.
All right. So with a sufficient range, a mulligan should never be necessary, in your opinion, then?
Correct. If you've hit 6 or more golf balls before you tee off, you get nothing.
All right.
But if you didn't hit a shot, okay, and this is your first contact with a golf ball, I'll give you a mulligan on the first tee. I will. Because it affects your mood and everything. So, yeah.
All right.
But that's it.
Quick sidebar. Just
okay. So curious. Do you like the play-in?
I'm now in favor of it. I was not when it started. It has won me over.
Okay. Trent, were you in favor of the play-in 3 years ago, and B, what's your feeling on it now?
I was not in favor of it, and now I love it. So, and also, I mean, for Mark to say he loves it too, or he, maybe not love, but Mark enjoys it, thinks it's a good thing, I think that speaks volumes. Because Mark's not really a NBA purist.
Well, that's not true. That is a misrepresentation.
Okay,
that is a total misrepresentation. The NBA was one of the first leagues that I fell in love with as a kid.
For good reason.
And loved, you know, wait till you see Jersey Thursday with Trent Sporting today. Because of the jersey you're wearing, because of that guy, I became a huge basketball fan. And loved the sport all through high school and into college. Then I started working in professional hockey.
Right.
And the NBA just wasn't a part of my life.
Well, I was talking with Felipe last night. It's hard to like both. It's hard to really immerse yourself in both.
It is.
Hockey and basketball, because they're happening simultaneously.
And but, I spent 15 years working in pro hockey.
Right. So.
But I think that's a misrepresentation.
Okay, so my bad. I stand corrected on that.
Of me being a non-NBA guy.
But David, to answer your question, I thought it was a little gimmicky when they first introduced it, but I do think the actions speak louder than words. People are liking it. The players seem to like it okay. It gives more teams a shot.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do.
And you didn't. You and I both were against the idea of this when it came out.
Trent hit on the word that it felt like for me 3 years ago. I'm like, man, this is gimmicky. But I think part of it is, to be brutally honest, regular season NBA product is really lacking between load management and then, quite frankly, I mean, Trent, you're too young to, well, you weren't alive, but part of the problem that the NBA had in the late 70s and early 80s, well, first off, the league had a serious cocaine problem. But secondly, guys didn't play hard. I mean, it was a joke, actually. I mean, the whole thing was, they'll run around, they'll break a sweat for 2 hours, and then they'll play hard the last 5 minutes. And, I mean, that was the perception of the league. And the league couldn't combat it. And I got to admit, I watch a lot of, part of the reason that I'm even more of a Knicks fan now than I've been in recent years is not only because they're having a little bit of success, but I actually feel like the Knicks play hard every night.
They have a team that sets themselves up. I mean,
yeah.
I will say, the league you talked about changed. I think the Pistons helped change that league, because the Bad Boys, they weren't going to let you take a night off.
Well, Magic and Larry changed. I mean, once they brought the Lakers and Celtics with them and like, we're playing hard every night, boys, or I'll run you out of here. You know, I mean, Kareem made fun of Magic, how hard he played every game. He was like, kid, we got 80 more of these. Okay. And Magic played every game like he played in college. Like he was only playing 30 of them. So I like the play-in because I'm like, well, this is a real game. I mean, guys are playing. And the game has implications. We like games that have stakes in this country. Now, the question becomes, should the NHL do this? I mean, the NBA is a 30-team league with 16 teams that make the quote-unquote playoffs. Well, the NHL is a 32-team league that has 16 teams make the playoffs. And if it's working for the NBA, should the NHL do it?
And I would have never, and this isn't because my team missed by a point, I would have never said yes to this 3 years ago. But I think the NBA play-in product is working, that the NHL has to at least look at it. But I think they should do it.
I don't think they should do it. I would want them to make one change before they do it. Now, I do think, by the way, when they go to 36 teams, whenever this next round of expansion is, probably by the end of the decade, I do think, Mark, they'll go to the play-in with 36.
And we're not just shooting from the hip on this 36. It's out there that the NHL is looking to expand.
Right, because if this ownership group in Phoenix, if he can't get it done in 5 years, the league will probably go find somebody else that can. They want to be in Phoenix. It's the fifth or sixth biggest market in the country. They want to be in Houston, which is also one of the top six markets in the country. Well, that's two places they want to go. Quebec wants a team. Atlanta supposedly wants a third bite at the apple. I mean, they've got enough cities that want teams, and there's enough quality arenas, apparently, that it's like, oh, okay, we can go to 36 and just pocket all the money. And remember, okay, owners make less money in the NHL than they do in any other sport.
So, and they don't share expansion fees with the players.
Right. So, Mark, I'm not in favor of the play-in in hockey, because I actually think you get more effort during the regular season in hockey than you do in basketball.
That is true, by the way. That's 100% true.
Yeah. So I think I've seen enough regular season hockey, to be honest. Here's the one thing I would like the NHL to do. I want to change the point system. I want a regulation win to be worth 3. I want a shootout and overtime win to be worth 2. And I want a shootout overtime loss to be 1. That's what I want. I want us to put real value in a 60-minute win. We got teams right now. I mean, listen, your beloved Wings.
No, I know. They were 14 ended up being 14-1 in overtime and shootouts.
14-1. I mean, come on now. You got teams that are getting 40 regulation wins. They're only needing extra time like 5-6 times a year. And then you got another team that's got 28 regulation wins, and they need extra time 15 times. I just feel like too many games in the NHL are resulting in points, to be brutally honest. And I actually think a regulation win needs to be valued more.
I've never disagreed with that. This goes back when I worked in the International Hockey League, going back forever ago, all the way, Trent, in the 90s. But this was something that Gene Ubriaco, who was the coach of Atlanta, wanted then. And never got the steam at any level for this to go through.
And Bettman's never been for it. But that is something I would like to do. I do think the NHL will go to the play-in when they go to 36 by the end of the decade with expansion. But how about a poll question?
We have already got it up. Should the NHL adopt the play-in tournament for their postseason? Miller_Moulton on X. That Mark Miller, the David Moulton on X. We'll repost it here during the break and get it up for you. So go vote.
So let me get this straight. We did an entire segment on something, and you had already put it up as our poll question?
Yeah.
Huh. Should really clue me in. I feel like the quarterback that wasn't invited into the meetings during the week.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Top of the morning to you. Hope your week's going well. You're over the hump. You darn near see the finish line from here. We're rounding the turn heading for home, right? Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com, Miller_Moulton on X. So, listen, I know Nike is, you know, a lot of crazy things would happen to have somebody challenge Nike atop the shoe industry, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Man, they've had a bad last 30 days, though.
In the apparel world, that's for sure.
So they're apparently the ones to blame. This is according to Major League Baseball now. This is an opinion. But with the whole baseball new uniform thing, nobody likes them. And not only that, they're splitting. Guys are sliding into bases and, like, their uniforms are ripping. So they're ugly and they're not durable. Besides that, they're great. Go out and buy them. So that's number one. But, I mean, let's face it, Mark. When you think jerseys, you think either football or basketball, right?
Yeah.
And you think shoes. And you think Nike. So, Caitlin Clark, WNBA draft. Now, I'll cut Nike some slack. You know, a lot of people went through Fanatics to buy the jersey, but Nike makes them. And I'll cut them some slack, in which maybe it was difficult to imagine just how big the demand would be? I mean, this is the biggest demand they've ever had for a draft. Football, basketball, any sport, you know, this outsold any NFL player's demand on draft night for a jersey, ever. Okay. I mean, they should have anticipated. I mean, 19 million people watched the final. I mean,
but in, not just the 19 million people watched the final. If you watched any of the games this year, you saw every person in the stands wearing an Iowa 22 shirt, jersey, whatever the case may be. Men, women, children, it didn't matter. They all had something on that was Caitlin Clark. All of them. Well, they weren't wearing Iowa stuff. They weren't wearing Caitlin Clark stuff.
So, you know, maybe you could cut them some slack if they didn't quite make enough jerseys and what have you. But okay, you know, hey, guys, we need another batch. All right. Yeah, Mark, apparently, if you didn't get a Caitlin Clark jersey in the first hour and a half that she was drafted, the original, you know, supply, and you're now part of the second and third batch of jerseys, those jerseys aren't even going to be shipped until mid-August. The season starts in like 6 weeks.
Season's damn near over by mid-August, isn't it?
Well,
when do they go to?
It normally would be, but we have an Olympic break.
Okay.
September is usually playoff month in the WNBA. The season usually goes to right around Labor Day.
Gotcha.
But they're taking almost 4 weeks off. They do their all-star break, and then they're taking 4 weeks off for the Olympics. And then they're coming back, and they're finishing. So it's going to go another month. But the second batch apparently is being shipped mid-August. The third batch isn't being shipped till October.
So, and they're already on the third batch from an ordering standpoint, correct?
Correct. So you could get your Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jersey in time for what, a Christmas gift?
Lot of little girls' birthdays are going to go without that Caitlin Clark jersey they wanted, and mom and dad can't do a damn thing about it.
She better win Rookie of the Year. Do they have that in the WNBA?
They've got to.
I'm sure they do. But this will be like, you'll be getting your jersey after she's already won Rookie of the Year.
Which, once again, nobody cares about. But you're a basketball fan, and you guys love your damn awards. I swear, basketball people love their awards more than actors and actresses love the Oscars.
Ooh, it's close. I'll go actors because it's the only award they get. But, David, you're on to something there.
I mean, honestly, you basketball people love your awards.
Well, you know why? It's because people like me, what? No matter what generation you come from, if you love basketball, you have your GOAT, your guy. Mine's LeBron. And all I hear is that people got to, you know, stack up the awards next to Jordan's. So they put a lot of stock into how many awards you have. They do. Trophies, awards, hardware. It's not my fault. I'm just a product of this sick league, as some people call it.
He's trying to accept no blame.
None whatsoever.
Oh,
and he's talking about the WNBA Rookie of the Year and just compared it with LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I want that. Everybody read through that thinly veiled attempt at Trent trying to pass the buck a little bit on the awards. That's
hey,
all.
Hey, where are my Caitlin Clark Nikes? I mean, don't you know, Dad? She won the Rookie of the Year. Where are they? And my jersey, for that matter. I had to wear her Iowa jersey watching all the games this year. Thanks, Dad.
All right, Trent. You are the jersey wearer amongst the three of us. Would you wear a Caitlin Clark jersey?
Probably not.
Okay.
Why?
Not
you chauvinistic pig.
Because I'm just not a fan. I shouldn't say that. That came off. I just don't. I wear jerseys of players that I like. I'm not saying I wouldn't wear a WNBA player jersey, you know, if there's a WNBA player that I,
but her game doesn't speak to you. You're more of a defensive fan.
Dr. J,
right?
Dennis Rodman, Patrick Ewing. You know, that's what I wear. I got nothing against it.
Well, obviously you do. You wouldn't wear a jersey. So you can't spin it both ways, just so you know. I mean, that's right. Sports talk radio. Okay?
I wouldn't either. I put you on the spot. You're the jersey wearer of the group.
Well, and also, I mean, this is kind of funny. No one called me out on this. Yesterday, I wore a Ray Allen jersey, so there's really no...
Yeah, well...
I have no excuses. I have no leg to stand on here.
Oh, I called you out on it all day. Because you didn't wear a Ray Allen Celtics jersey. You didn't wear a Ray Allen Milwaukee Bucks jersey. You wore a Ray Allen Heat jersey.
David, that's because I wouldn't be caught dead wearing Boston Celtics anything. That was for Mark.
He won me back there a little bit.
When you date that girl from Appleton, Wisconsin, you'll be wearing that Ray Allen Bucks jersey. Don't kid yourself.
Miller and Moulton, time now for our Molly Maid Play of the Day. Trent, what do you have for us?
So the Miami Heat lost the play-in, so unfortunately I can't go there. But this is, look, I mean, the Lightning capped off the season with a win and history was made. This is my don't think, just do Play of the Day.
They'll bounce it back to Radish, waiting for it, right circle, Kucherov, touches to Paul, right corner. Stamkos.
God.
Center point, Radish, right circle, Kucherov, in front point. Score! There it is! 100 assists, Nikita Kucherov!
The fifth player in NHL history to do it. And the oh God thing is what made me laugh.
It's Phil Esposito. He's mad because Kucherov made the pass. He wanted a shot. Play that again and just listen for Espo.
They'll bounce it back to Radish, waiting for it, right circle, Kucherov, touches to Paul, right corner. Right circle, Stamkos. Center point, Radish, right circle, Kucherov.
It's great. I mean, that's what sold me on it.
I love Espo.
Because I love the Dave Michigan calls as it is, but that one was particularly hilarious. But there's your Molly Maid Play of the Day, for what it's worth.
Not only that, you're not supposed to use the Lord's name in vain. All right, it's like you don't curse and you don't use the Lord's name in vain. There are not many rules to broadcasting, but those are really about it. Ah, God.
Molly Maid, 239-774-5839. That's 239-774-5839. Call Molly Maid today if you're looking for someone to clean your home and you need the experts. Give Molly Maid a try and make sure you let them know that Miller and Moulton sent you.
Oh, God.
We'll try to get Espo as a guest, all right, next week. All right, try to get him on, talk a little Panthers Lightning.
Because he loves the Panthers.
Yep.
He'll take this series personally.
Espo, your thoughts on the Florida Panthers? Oh, God, they're Miami.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes before the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Jake Chapman, radio voice of the Orlando Magic. They're in the playoffs, baby. They got a good young team. Don't know if they're ready to win this year, although this is a winnable series. They're taking on the Cavs, who's also a good young team.
Yeah, there's no difference between 2 through 8 in the East.
No. Maybe 8.
Maybe 8.
Maybe 8, whether it's Chicago or an injured Miami. But, yeah, 2 through 7 is, jambalaya. Absolutely.
And it was that way in the standings all year. So,
I mean, they're only separated by, what, 3-4 games? The Knicks are the 2-seed at 50. Didn't the Heat win 46 or 47? And they were the 8? I mean, so, And meanwhile, the Celtics won, what, 64, 65? I mean, they, clearly superior. Clearly. But Jake Chapman, radio voice of the Magic at the top of the hour. An hour from now, we begin our Panthers Lightning preview, baby. Looks like Sunday is when they're going to play.
And an early one I'm seeing.
It's what it looks like, yeah. Looks like, they're saving Boston, Toronto for Saturday night for hockey night in Canada. That sort of deal. But it looks as if the All-Florida series is going to get underway on Sunday. By the way, John Cooper last night, two things I thought. Did you see his pregame interview on the TNT pregame
thing? I did not.
Thing? Softball, gymnastics?
No, last night we were off. The family went out to dinner together. It was a night off for the daughter. Wednesday night is her only night off of the week. I played a little golf yesterday. I had no desire to cook, and so I took the family out to dinner last night.
Real silverware or no?
No, no, no. Nice dinner. We went to a little Argentinian place. It was phenomenal.
Okay. Just wondering. Didn't know if you, go cheap and easy and just get out of the house.
I would love to go cheap and easy, but it never seems to work that way, David, because nothing's cheap, and you know going out to dinner, that's not easy because it takes an hour of conversation to figure out where the hell you're going to go.
How about if we just get in the car and I'll decide on the way? No? Anyway. So Cooper, two things. First off, he credited the TNT guys and he said, hey, you guys are really good. No BS. He goes, we actually sit around the room and, on the bus, we actually talk about things that you guys are talking about. He said, 3 years, you guys have made a real impact in this league. Keep doing what you're doing. I know you get grief. Keep doing what you're doing. I thought that was, because they're trying to create for hockey what they created now for 20 years in basketball. And hockey has never had a cool pregame show. Hockey guys don't let their guard down.
Well, and that's where Bissonnette comes in, because he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. He was a role player, lucky to be in the league, and he admits it. And yet he's friends with the biggest stars in the game, and they like him.
He's forced Gretzky to let his guard down when he's on there. He's literally forced Wayne to be much more free than we've ever seen Wayne Gretzky in front of a microphone and camera ever.
But Cooper also was asked, he goes, all right, let's talk Panthers. And he said, when we won our last cup, that first round series that we played against them, he goes, that's as hard a series as we've had in all my years here. He goes, it doesn't matter, win the series, lose the series. He goes, that was as intense and as hard a series as we've ever played in. He goes, I had guys around the league that year after we won it say, yeah, that Florida series. And then Cooper go, oh, yeah, that was the series. And Cooper looked right into the camera and said, that was big boy hockey. He goes, and we're going to do it again. I'm telling you, if you're not into hockey, you gotta check out the Panthers Lightning series. You really, and if it doesn't do it for you, you don't ever have to go back.
No, I think you're on to something there. Because Florida knows how hard this series will be. Florida's the favorite in this series.
And they were the favorite 3 years ago when they played two. That was the year they were supposed to beat the Lightning. That was their President's Trophy year, wasn't it?
Right. And what did they do after losing that series? Changed the whole complexion of their team. Made themselves tougher.
Yep.
Made themselves more prepared to play postseason hockey.
So, there you have it. Gets underway. It's looking like Sunday. And Lightning, Panthers, and there you go. First two in Fort Lauderdale there. Next two in Tampa, and then we go 1-1-1. Be good times. Old-time hockey, as we like to say.
Fired up for the first round of the playoffs. I've said it many times. I don't think there's a better round of postseason action in sport, including the divisional round in the NFL playoffs that you love so much. I'll take the first round of the NHL playoffs. One, it's just longer. I get 7-game series. But the hitting that will go on over the next 2 weeks in the National Hockey League is second to none to me.
Oh, it's so awesome. They're as healthy as they're going to be in the playoffs. They're at absolute full speed, and they hit everything that moves. And no matter how hard they compete in the rest of the rounds, they're not that close to 100% anymore. They're just a tick slower, and they don't hit everything because they're exhausted. So they hit almost everything. I mean, You're so right, Mark. It's such a war of attrition.
And it's not just getting out of the first round. It's getting out of the first round and being as healthy as humanly possible. So it doesn't take the toll on you. And that's where you wonder if your Rangers get a huge break winning the president. I mean, there's a lot of the way this is set up with the top three winning, the top team in the conference gets the worst wild card team. I mean, it's an advantage, I think, for the Rangers. One, they didn't get the Islanders, who drive the Rangers nuts, and you know that. Think your Rangers got a good first-round draw. I think this will benefit them.
I agree. I agree. You know, some of the playoff seeding stuff that's happened here in hockey, just like how it shook out at the end in basketball, there were some teams. Like, listen, the Lakers couldn't throw the play-in game. I mean, the people who were talking about the Lakers trying not to win against New Orleans to avoid Denver, you can't do that. Okay, it's the NBA. You don't think that Sacramento or Golden State has a player that can come in and just win a game? It's one game. I mean, for goodness sakes, the Atlanta Hawks played for their season last night, and Coby White ended their season, scoring 42. Now, Coby White's a good player. But do you really think Coby White was showing up last night scoring 42? I mean, the Lakers couldn't tank the Pelicans game because it's like, oh, we'll beat Sacramento or Golden State at home. No. You know who plays for Sacramento and Golden State? You don't think they have guys capable of scoring 40 and 50? No, you got it. The Lakers had to win that game. So the seeding fell out the way it fell out. But I agree with you, Mark. Certain teams, you know, like I think Toronto caught a break. I think Toronto playing Boston's a lot better than Toronto playing Florida.
And on the other side of it, and no one cares about them, but the Islanders have been playing great hockey. Carolina may have their hands full with the New York Islanders. Carolina's soft.
Although I do think that Carolina's got a little more goal scoring than they've had in years past. I actually think they're better equipped this year than the last few, and they've had some runs the last few, but I actually think this team can go further.
We'll see.
But I'm with you. The Islanders are not their preferred choice. They would have much rather have played Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Washington, Detroit. Much rather. Yep. And it's crazy out west, too. I mean, you know, Winnipeg, Colorado's the first-round series, for goodness sakes. I mean, it could be Vegas, Edmonton in the first round. I mean, that was last year's conference final. Just like in the NBA, Denver and the Lakers was last year's conference final. I mean, some of these playoff matchups are awesome. Minnesota didn't want Phoenix.
No.
No, Minnesota's a big team that forces you to shoot mid-range jumpers. Phoenix is a small team that lives on the mid-range jumper. They got four guys that can shoot them. No, Minnesota didn't want Phoenix. Minnesota wanted New Orleans. Minnesota wanted, you name it, the Lakers.
Right. It wouldn't have mattered, but Phoenix, that's not the best match. Doesn't mean that the T-Wolves won't win, but they've got their hands full in this series.
So very excited. But listen, if you want to give hockey a shot, all right, check out the Lightning Panther series. And give it more than a game, all right? Give it a week. Give it like four games in a row. Watch it build. Watch the animosity. Watch something in which you go, oh, they were kind of scuffling in game one. Now they dropped the gloves in game three. Okay, here we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's the other thing about the first round of the NHL playoffs. They do this crazy thing in games. It's called fight. We don't see it much in the regular season anymore. But you'll see an actually spontaneous fight happen, not a predetermined two heavyweights going at it. Two guys getting so honked off at one another, and the game's 4-1 in the third that I've had enough of you.
So yesterday was the anniversary. I know we tried to do today was the day when and what have you. And there's some sports things that we miss because they're not like championships, but they're just – so yesterday was the day in which, you know, you just said Carolina's just a little soft. Well, that was the knock on the Islanders in the late 70s. They kept getting beat in the playoffs when it's like, they're a better team. Why are they losing? So they played the big bad Bruins on this date in 1980. And in the first period, they had 248 minutes of penalties. In the first period, okay, the Bruins were trying to, you know, just bang them out, and the Islanders decided today is the day that we we're
done taking you know what from them.
Yes.
And everyone else.
Yep. And so they just fought everybody. Everybody. A Bruin looked at them sideways. They dropped the gloves and they went. And a lot of people, and sure enough, you know, 6 weeks later, they won the cup. And so a lot of people go, this was the day they stopped being soft. Could you imagine in this day and age if we had, let's just say, game two after a feisty game one, and the Panthers and the Lightning have 248 minutes in penalties in the first period?
David, I couldn't imagine a world in which there were 100 minutes in penalties in the first period. I really couldn't. The game has changed so much. The players have changed so much. And even though the physicality will be there, they just don't drop the gloves the way they used to.
There were guys in that game who had three fights in the first period with each other. So they fought early, then they fought mid, and then, of course, there was a scrum at the end of the period, and that was in the day and age in which both teams came off the benches right away. So you had 40 guys on the ice. So at the end of the period, all hell broke loose. Clark Gillies and Terry O'Reilly had three fights.
Early way to get the gate, huh?
And they were no, they all kept playing. They didn't throw anybody out of the game. Oh, no, this is like old school NBA. Parrish punched Lambeer, knocked him down. He got a personal foul. No, there's no misconducts or anything like that. It's just 5 minutes. Let's go put him back. It's 1980.
I love the – I have the whole Pistons, the Bad Boys run in 89 on DVD, the whole playoff run. And I love the conference finals. I think it's game six. Scottie Pippen gets knocked down by Lambeer, and the referee drags him off the court, and they keep playing 5-on-4. Like, the referee has the wherewithal to get him off the court, but he's not going to do anything within the rules. He's just going to let him keep playing 5-on-4.
Now, the next time we saw Bill Lambeer would have been like in 1991. You know, he would have been suspended like a year. Sure. But I mean, you know, we all remember, those of us of a certain age, Robert Parrish punches Bill Lambeer.
Yes.
Nearly knocks him down. Lambeer staggers. He's 6'11".
And thick.
Right.
And the story goes, Lambeer wakes up, they hit him with the smelling salts. He goes, they throw him out? No, they did
not.
No, throw him out? No, they gave him personal foul.
Personal foul, not even a T.
Get back in there, Bill.
But the playoffs in hockey make us think of times gone by, because it has that type of intensity. It has that type of hitting. It has the physicality that we all love. And it gets started this weekend. Panthers and Lightning in the first round of the playoffs. We'll switch gears and talk a little Orlando Magic next.